today on Vox Talks Economics. Do schools change our religious attitudes? Welcome to Vox Talks Economics from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Every week we bring you the best new research in economics, so remember to subscribe and follow us on Instagram. Perhaps you, well, like me, had compulsory religious education at school. Did it make us more likely to believe as adults? And does this type of education affect our behaviour in other ways? A new discussion paper uses changes in German education policy to answer these questions. Well, all three authors are here today with me. Ludger Wussmann. Ludger, hello.
Hello, Tim.
Larissa Zierl. Hello, Larissa.
Hi, Tim.
And Benjamin Arold. Hello, Benjamin.
Hello, Tim.
All three are from the IFO Institute at the University of Munich. Welcome to Vox Talks Economics, all of you. Ludger, I'm going to start with you. We often hear that religious observance is declining, especially in advanced economies. How many people still have some sort of religious belief?
Despite common perceptions that there's a general secularization, the numbers are actually remarkably high. The World Value Survey has some 60 countries participating, and among those, more than 80% of people belong to a religious denomination, and more than 70% say that religion is important in their lives. 57% say they pray several times a week. In Germany, the country that we are studying, these numbers are slightly lower. But here, too, still two-thirds belong to a religious denomination, one-third prays several times a week. We also know that in times of crisis, people particularly revert to religious activities. So, for example, with the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic, there was a strong surge in prayer across the world. So I guess it's clear that actually religious attitudes are a very important component of many people's personalities and values. And I wouldn't even say still, because like people have been talking about secularizations at the end of the 19th century, and it's not quite clear that it has gone down so big time. It probably has changed, but it's still big there.
So it's a pretty important question to work out what inspires religious attitudes. Larissa, you've examined whether it's compulsory religious education in German schools that affect. So what is this education? Who's getting it? How much of that education are they getting in German schools?
In Germany, all public schools have to provide religious education. This is written down in our constitution from 1949. Public schools have to provide religious education, and students have to attend this from their first to their final grade. And when you calculate the sum of hours a student would have attended religious education by the end of the school career, that would amount to 1,000 hours of religious education. And we can contrast that with only 240 hours of physics education. So it's really a lot. And religious education is taught by confession, so Catholic or Protestant confession. And the teachers are chosen by the Catholic Church or the Protestant Church, but then they are paid by the states and they work as state employees. They teach religious values based on this denomination. So, for example, can read in the syllabus that classes should be focused on Jesus Christ and bring across the basic truth and the central message of the Catholic faith and the Bible.
Gosh, there's a lot more religious education than I ever had in the UK. Now, I could see how this might create more religiosity as an adult, but it's very difficult, surely, to disentangle that from other influences, your family, where you live. So, Benjamin, how do you do that? How do you disentangle this?
Yes, that's one of the key questions of our paper to which we dedicate relevant parts, because we know that traits such as religiosity are determined by a multitude of factors. We know that parents play a role, peers and so on, and we want to isolate the causal effect of religious education. And to do that, we exploit a unique German setting that had staggered state-level reforms of the compulsory nature of religious education. Mm-hmm. So before the reform, religious education was compulsory. All students had to take it. After the reform, students could choose. They could either choose ethics education as a non-denominational value-oriented education or still religious education. And these reforms took place at different years in the different German states. So in the language of the economists, we do a difference in difference approach here, which in a nutshell compares adulthood outcomes of cohorts who entered primary school in a given state after the reform relative to other cohorts in the same state before the reform. And then we said this difference and compare it to the difference of the same cohorts in states which did not have a reform in those years. So essentially what we do in this approach, we can tease out national differences that are constant between years and state-specific differences.
What is this ethics education? What's replacing religion in the syllabus?
So now after the reforms, parents and students could choose whether to attend still religious education or ethics. And ethics is value-oriented instruction, but it's non-denominational. It's not bound to any religious community. And when we study the curricula of this, we see that the goal of this subject is to guide students towards responsible actions in their personal life and in society. So for example, for this one big topic, living in a society with others, students would talk about how to end conflicts, how to behave towards foreigners, what are causes for prejudice, and so on.
Ludger, what are you looking for as the outcome here? Is it an adult belief in Protestantism or Catholicism, depending on your education, or are you looking for more broader effects than that?
Well, we do look at a number of religious outcomes, as we think this is an important part of people's personalities and lives. And so it's really interesting in and of itself. So we have measures of self-reported religiosity, but also of several religious actions, like the personal act of prayer, mm-hmm. the public act of going to church, and the formal act of church membership. So interestingly, actually, in the case of Germany, it's relevant to know that this last one is actually a pretty costly act, because we have church taxes in Germany.
Oh.
And church membership is directly linked to paying these taxes. So once you're formally a member of the church, it's just deducted from your paybill.
Wow.
But then actually we don't stop with these religious outcomes. So we are interested in attitudes more generally beyond the religious sphere. So in particular, we look at attitudes toward gender roles and family norms, because churches traditionally had very specific views on these. And we also look at family outcomes such as marriage and children. But we also look at economic behavior and outcomes such as employment and earnings. Like, well, the Bible quotes Jesus as saying, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." So if people take these Christian views seriously, any change in religious values should actually also affect economic outcomes.
That is one quote that I do remember from my religious education.
There you go.
Benjamin, this needs a lot of data, doesn't it? Where are you going to get this data from?
Yes, what we do is to combine two types of data. So on the one hand, we need to have legal data about the type of reform. So in which state and year was which type of religious education in place, the compulsory option or the choice option. And we link this legal data with individual level data from the students or from adults. Mm-hmm. And these are three large scale data sets from Germany, which we combine. Each of those data sets needs to have information on the adults, on outcomes we are interested in, what Ludger was just referring to, religious outcomes, also other outcomes. But we also need to know the state and years of schooling so that we can map the legal data to each individual. And this is what we do. We merge three individual level data sets together, and by doing this, come up with 58,000 observations of adults who entered primary school in a West German state between 1950 and 2004. And this is then also our estimation sample.
The big question, first of all, children who had compulsory religious education, are they more religious as adults?
Yes, they are.
it's working.
Yeah, so this is exactly what we found. So when we look at self-reported religiosity, we indeed see a decrease if students have the choice between ethics and religious education. It's about 3 percentage points reduction in self-reported religiosity we find as a consequence of the reform. Mm-hmm. On average, in our sample, a bit more than 50% report to be religious. So we think it's a non-negligible effect here. But then we also have these other measures. Ludger was talking about other religious measures, church membership, church goals, probability to pray, and also here we see significant effects.
Larissa, do they have different attitudes about equality?
Yeah, so as regards gender equality views, we find that the reform led to a decrease in conservative gender and family attitudes. So after the reforms, students later in their lives think less often, for example, that men are better suited for certain professions than women, or that women cannot use technical devices, or they also think less often that people should get married if they permanently live with a partner. So not having compulsory religious education anymore really led to less conservative gender views.
Benjamin, it's one thing to have different views and different attitudes to society. Do they make different life choices, people who've had that compulsory education and people who have not?
Yes, they do. So the attitudinal changes Larissa was just explaining indeed translate into high stakes choices of the individuals. So when we look at family outcomes, we see that a reform reduced the probability to be married in line with the gender role attitudes Larissa has already been highlighting. We also see there's a reduction in the number of children by 0.1 child per respondent. And on the other hand, we also see a labor market changes. We see an increase in labor market participation, also in the number of working hours, and this also translates into earnings increases. So in sum, one can say that the family career trade-off is being optimized differently after this type of education.
Larry, so one argument that's often made in favor of religious education is that it teaches children an ethical framework for their lives. It makes them appreciate values like trust and altruism. On this evidence, is there any difference in how ethical children are depending on whether they've had this religious education?
Yeah, interestingly, we do not find that ending compulsory religious education affect value outcomes. So, for example, there are no significant treatment effects on reciprocity, on trust, or on volunteering. And why is this the case? I think, yeah, this is consistent with the fact that the counterfactual to religious education was not having no value education anymore, but to have ethics classes instead. And as I explained before, they also talked a lot about values in these classes. So it makes sense that we do not find effects on these value outcomes because it seems that this alternative was as good as religious education in providing students with values later in life.
Whether or not education and religion should be mixed is controversial all over the world, isn't it? And so there will be a lot of people looking at your findings here. Is this about one religion in one place at one time, or do your results have wider relevance, do you think?
Well, as always, when you do empirical research, what we study is what we study. So first of all, our results apply in the specific country and historical setting that we study, Germany from the 1970s to today, with a specific reform. And we can't really know whether the same interrelationships apply in other contexts. But to be honest, I don't really see why the basic aspects should be restricted to the German recent history. So this is, I think, the first study to show that religious education in school appears to have causally influenced people's attitudes and outcomes in adult life. And this effect may be stronger or weaker depending on the specific context, but I don't see why it shouldn't be at play also in other contexts. So if you're exposed to religious views in school, be they Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever, this may more generally be relevant for your religious attitudes later in life. Of course, this is subject to future research, but like the principal connection should be there. And if these attitudes matter more generally, this will also affect, for example, your economic outcomes. Mm-hmm. Well, depending on which specific religious curriculum you're getting, of course, and that would be interesting to study. But in this broad sense, I guess what you learn in school is for life indeed. And that's what we do see more generally.
The outcomes that you seem to have are if children don't have a religious education, then they grow up to have a stronger preference for gender equality, for example, and they don't have less of an ethical framework about the way they live their lives. This seems to be a good argument in favor of something like the French principle of laïcité, where the state and religion don't mix, specifically in education. Is that the conclusion I can draw, or am I reading too much into it?
Well, I guess this depends on your point of view. If you think that state institutions should not interfere with people's religious views, then maybe yes. But if your normative view is that people should be religious, then the opposite is true. Then you wouldn't want public schools to stay out of the religious business. Mm. We really don't take a stance on this, as our research cannot answer this normative question. Our research question is positive. So does X affect Y? This may inform policy choices, but particularly in this case, these choices are normative ones. Maybe the historical background of the German setting is interesting here. So compulsory religious education had been enshrined in the German constitution right after the Second World War. And this was in close agreement with the Allied forces. And it sure happened against this backdrop of the recent experiences that the Nazis had taken over schools. So when the regional Nazi minister gave the order to take away all crosses and religious religious symbols from schools in the Oldenburg Münsterland, or like northwestern region in Germany in 1936, so very early on after the Nazis took power, the so-called cross battle emerged, which was famously supported by Bishop von Galen, who later became one of the few outspoken opponents against the Nazis in the Catholic Church. And von Galen very strongly emphasized that it was crucial that the church, rather than the state, had a strong grip of schools so that children get properly socialized, so that the church followership is secured in the long run. And in that sense, our results, I guess, at the very least suggest that the church's resistance to state schooling was rational, in the sense that giving away the opportunity to instill religious attitudes does indeed undermine the church's follower base in the long run.
Well, it's fascinating. You probably haven't settled this argument, but you've definitely informed it, haven't you? So, Ludger, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Benjamin, thank you very much as well.
Thank you.
And Aris.
Thank you.
The working paper is called Can Schools Change Religious Attitudes? Evidence from German State Reforms of Compulsory Religious Education. And you've heard all three of the authors, Benjamin, Ludger and Larissa. There is also a Vox EU article with the same title on the same subject, which sets out the methods and the conclusions very clearly. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. Every week we bring you the most important latest research. So if you want to know what you're going to be reading in journals 18 months from now, listen to Vox Talk's Economics Today. And subscribe, go on, do it now, and you'll find more than 200 episodes on every type of economics waiting for you.